tonight we've got our series, The Ten Commandments, continuing, and we've got the awesome Stuart Bray and Chris Alikash. Should we welcome them tonight?
He's not really posh, Tom, but when he says Ten Commandments, sounds good, doesn't it? So he goes, in the north, we have the Ten Commandments, and in Kent, they have the Ten Commandments. And tonight we're going to look at commandment number three, which is to honour God's name. I'm going to read it to you and explain a little bit about it to you. Just a very quick introduction, I'm going to hand over to Chris. But it's tonight is about honouring God's name. It says this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, the third of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord shall not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." And in some translations, I'm sure you're familiar with the way it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not let anyone go unpunished who uses his name in vain." And this commandment is more than just using the name of God as a swear word, like the name of God or Jesus Christ as a swear word. It's much more than that. It's about taking God's name lightly, using it for your own ends, attributing everything you do to God. Oh yeah, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. Oh, I'm doing this because God said, or even using it to manipulate other people. Oh, I really believe God's saying to you, when actually he hasn't spoken to you at all. You've got to be very careful how you use God's name, the advice you give to somebody. Is it really God telling you to tell that person? Or is it just your own idea? You have to be really careful about that. This commandment is also to do with oaths and swearing to do something in the name of God. And that's where we get the crime of perjury, about swearing on the Bible to tell the truth and then lying. I had a friend who was in the process of coming to faith in God, and he was also a criminal, but he was seeking God, and God was on his case a bit. And he was in jail, he was remanded, he was in jail for a robbery, and he was due to go to court the next day, but his barrister came to see him and said, "Jeff, don't worry about it, the evidence is really flimsy, absolutely, there's no way you're going to, go down for this, I'm getting you off. Don't make any, don't think about going to prison. Tomorrow, you'll be home for tea." But God's on his case. So all that night, he's thinking about being in court the next day. And God's challenging him. "So, you're going to swear to tell the truth with your hand on my Bible?" God's on his case all night. And he's got a criminal record already. So if he gets found guilty for this, he's going to get a long sentence. And he's wrestling with God all night about this. But then he came to the conclusion, "I just can't do it." So he gets into court the next day. The barrister says to him, "Morning, Jeff, nice to see you." He's all busy and everything, got loads of other things to do. "And you'll be home for tea, don't worry about it. When it comes to the bit, how do you plead?" He says, "Guilty." And the barrister goes, "Just a minute, Your Honour, let me have a word with my client." And Jeff says, no, I'm guilty. I did it, and I'm pleading guilty." So he didn't go home for tea. He went to home house for tea for the next 4 years. A big cost, but right as well, because that was part of the process of him coming to faith in Christ. And it was actually on an alpha course in home house prison where he came to faith in Christ. If he'd pleaded not guilty and got out, goodness knows where he would have ended up. And what we're going to do tonight is I've told you about some of the negatives of God's name, but what we want to focus on is honouring God's name and using God's name correctly. And there's many, many names for God throughout the Bible, and we're just going to focus on some of them from Psalm 23, and Chris is going to come and begin that process for us. So, Christy Jean.
Thank you. In the Bible, very often, the names are to do with the character of the person. The name represents who the person is and reflects what they are. First time somebody ever asked, "What is your name?" from God. It was Moses. It was in the burning bush. He meets God there. And God is telling him, "Look, you need to go back to Egypt. You need to get my people out. you need the freedom. Moses is a little bit shaky, and he's asking God, so you want me to go there and tell me God sent you? Yeah, I want you to go. And he says, so what if they ask me, what is his name? What should I say to them? And God says, I am that I am. Go and tell them, I am sent you. God is not bothered about the name, because there is no name on the planet that could totally cover who he is. So is I am. And you know, if God is, then what my name is, I'm not. And the sooner I come to realize that, the more I can honor his name, because his name is I am. And we're going to look at some of the names that God is itself part of his character and part of who he is. So Psalm 23, it is, everybody knows it, it's a powerful psalm about worship to God, about who he is. And David wrote this, and it starts like this: the Lord is my shepherd. And in the Old Testament, often a name used for God is Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord my shepherd. I had a friend once, my old boss, he was visiting me here in England, and he came over for a few days, and for some reason, he had this obsession. He wanted to walk from Carlton Bank to Robin Hood Bay. It's like a 40-mile walk or something. So I dropped him off at Carlton Bank, and I'm walking around the hills a little bit with him, just talking with him. And we saw some sheep on the side of the hill there. And he knows I'm a Christian. He's not. And he says to me, like, one thing I don't understand about these Christians is, why do they have to use this image of a sheep to describe themselves? Like, I don't know about the English, but in Estonian, if you say sheep, it's like almost saying to somebody, you're a bit stupid. You're a little bit white and fluffy, and you don't know what you're doing, and a little bit dumb, and people say it all the time. So I thought, yeah, like, I understand what you're saying. It's hard to be a little sheep. People want to be somebody. They want to be smart. They want to be determined. I'm going to walk to Robin Hood Bay. But the truth is, this story is not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Anyone who hears my voice and follows me, he is the leader. And you know, David, who wrote this little psalm, he knew perfectly well what it meant to be a shepherd. How many times did he go further than he was supposed to? He says to Saul, about when he's about to fight Goliath, he says, when a bear came or a lion came and took one of those sheep away, I went after it. I rescued the sheep. And if I had to, I went back and killed the animal as well. So it's not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. Somebody who's willing to go after the sheep and do whatever it takes to rescue them. And this is who God is. The Lord, my shepherd. Jesus is the best shepherd of all. But it is about protection. God is our protection. So if we belong to him, we can look to him for our protection. Do you need him to save you from something? Do you need him to help you? And it's about belonging. In the time when Old Testament was written, and you see all the kings and all the different things that are going on, they often called their kings shepherds. Jesus is our shepherd king. So it makes perfect sense, the image of a shepherd, because it wasn't just about protecting them, but it was about belonging and belonging to someone. Getting your identity from someone. And we get our identity from God. He's our shepherd. If we choose to belong to his herd, we have him. He will go after our bears and our bears, not bears, and our lions to rescue us. Do we need him? The other thing, Psalm 23 3 says, "And I shall not want." The word used, the name used, is Jehovah Jireh, which is literally means the Lord will provide. Do you need the Lord to provide for you? The thing is about honoring God's name is that you trust Him for who He is. You give meaning to His name. The Lord will provide. So my question is, do I choose to believe it or not? If I believe it, then I'm honoring Him and I'm letting Him provide. If I don't believe it, then I'll try to provide for myself and go out of my way to do it. But God wants to provide. He says, that's my name, that's who I am. Do you need me to provide for you? Let me provide for you. Our decision, yes, Lord, please provide with me. I'll tell you 2 stories about some shoes. I was in Estonia once with some of the guys. We were doing a ministry weekend there, and we finished. It was Sunday afternoon. We'd been back to the house where we were staying, Lauri's dad's house. And I don't remember what I was doing, but I was on the phone talking to somebody, trying to clarify something and organizing, and quite busy thinking about the phone call. And Lauri's dad walks over to me, and he gives me this pair of shoes. They were like this tennis shoe type of trainers, light blue, really light. And he gives them to me. I'm on the phone. He gives them to me and he says, try them on. So I didn't realize actually what I was doing, but I thought I might as well. And I was talking to some other people, so I was trying them on the phone. And then trying to check them out. But I'm like in the middle of the conversation, I said, yeah. So he said, have them. So I didn't think about it much and thought, nice shoes. I didn't think about what they looked like, or I just felt comfy. What I didn't know was, Kinna was here in this church, and it was before our wedding, and I mean, the stress level of knowing everything that we needed to pay for, everything that we needed, it was high, and we needed God to provide for us so many things. We didn't know where we were going to live. We didn't know where we work, all of these things, how we pay for the wedding and all of these things. And she's praying, Lord, we need you to provide for us. We need you to provide for us. And out of the corner of her eye, she sees somebody wearing these light blue trainers. And she says, Lord, and Chris needs new shoes. And that was it. At the same time, I'm in Estonia. This guy comes and gives me this pair of shoes. The Lord, no, it wasn't about the shoes. It was about God providing for everything. And He did. We had a beautiful wedding. We have a house now. We have a place to stay. And it was because of God. Another story of shoe, which is amazing, because God knows what is happening to us, was Kinna was at this prayer meeting, and we were going to Sweden for Christmas. And somebody comes over to her and says, look, here is 40 pounds. I think God is saying that you need new shoes. But I don't know, pray about it. And Kinna's thinking, I don't need new shoes. But I'll have the money. And so we went to Sweden. She takes her the shoes she was wearing there. She takes them with her, and we walk around and things, and the second day, the zipper on them broke, and then she could close them sometimes, but it was winter there, like heavy snow, and so one day, we're going out, and she can't close the shoes, she can't wear them, and then she tries to wear her sister's shoes, and they're too big, and she gets blisters and things, and she remembers, I got 40 quid for new shoes. The Lord knows what you need before you need it. And He wants to provide for us. So if you choose to believe who He is, we let Him do things like that. We need to let Him do things like that for us, because that honors Him, because He wants to do that. Back to Stu.
And your preaching shirts look so good since you got married. You can tell when someone gets married, can't you? Guys, they start just smart. Okay, one of the other parts of Psalm 23 is, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And the Hebrew word that appears in the Old Testament for that is Jehovah tekenu, which means the Lord, my righteousness. So the Lord is my righteousness. If you know Jesus, the Lord is your righteousness. It's not your own righteousness. You understand that? You don't have any. But it all comes from him. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above. It's his righteousness. It's for his name's sake. We honor his name by the lives we lead. If we live a righteous life, it's not so that people will notice us. It's so that people will notice Jesus. Jesus himself that said this, he tells this little story. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's obvious everyone can see it. He said, neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl so you can't see it. He says, you put the lamp on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. He said, in the same way, yet let your light shine before men. That's let your life shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, but praise your Father in heaven, not to honour you. Do you understand that? You don't become a Christian to honour you. It's to honour and glorify his name. He's the righteous one, to bring glory to his name. The media loves to bring down Christianity, to mock Christians, to mock God, to bring God down, to belittle Christianity, to lump all religions together. And if one faction of a religion does something nasty, they use it against us. All religion is bad. All religion is bad. The Christians are bad. The Muslims are bad. We're all bad. Somebody does something wrong in the name of religion and we get lumped in with that. The media misrepresent that. I know that in countries in Northern Africa where Christians are persecuted horrifically, and some of the refugees and asylum seekers that come to this country come from places where Christians are persecuted and tortured and tormented, imprisoned and murdered, and churches burnt down and treated horrifically, and houses taken off them, and people are funded, paid to do it, you know. That's how evil it is. People are paid. There's poverty, so they pay people to persecute Christians. And then the BBC says, there's always been trouble here between Christians and Muslims. It's a lie. Our brothers and sisters standing up under persecution, bearing it all to bring glory and honour to his name. The media loves to bring down the name of Jesus. But our responsibility, our response is to lift up his name. It says also in Psalm 23 that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is Jehovah Nissi. It literally means the Lord, our banner. We were singing about a banner earlier on, weren't we? The Lord is our banner. What does that mean? What does it mean to prepare a table in the presence of our enemies? It's kind of, I always think of it as like some English general from a couple of hundred years ago in India or Africa somewhere in a war, having his table set out with its tablecloth and all the silver on it. They used to do this. And then the Union Jack or whatever being put up in the presence of the enemy, so the enemy could see him eating in front of them. Amazing picture, considering it's from the Old Testament. And the flag being lifted up. If you've served in the forces, you get this. The flag, regiments have their own colours. You wear the colours. You have different colours to sort out who's what. But you all fight for the Queen. You all have the flag that's important to you. You all serve under that and follow that. It's about fighting for something. If you're going to live a life, you need a life that's fighting for something. Not fighting for yourself, but fighting for Jesus, lifting up his name. You know, they used to, in the old battles, one of the important jobs, the musicians, the drummer boys, used to be the flag bearers. So the drummer boy, poor little kid, would carry the flag into battle. So the soldiers would see the flag, the banner. And as long as the flag was waving, they'd keep fighting. There was another person who had a job, and his job was to walk behind the guy with the flag in case he got killed, so that they could lift up the banner and keep it waving. One of the most iconic pictures from the Second World War is when the Americans defeated the Japanese at Iwo Jima. Actually, it was partway into the battle, and thousands of soldiers had died fighting for this place. It was a strategic place, and there's an iconic picture of these five Marines and this naval medic, and they lift up the Stars and Stripes on the top of this hill. It was an iconic picture. It's all over the world. I'm sure you've seen it, of these six soldiers lifting up the flag. It's famous in America. It's one of the most reproduced photographs on the planet. It was significant. It's significant because out of the six soldiers in that died in the battles that followed. It just represented so much. See, so many things those soldiers could have done. You know, go and help the wounded and carry on. And look, I'm sure there's other things to do apart from putting the flag up. But they had to show each other what they were fighting for. You know, we're fighting for Jesus. He's the banner over us. He was lifted up on the cross so that we don't have to be. He's the banner over us. The cross is over us. That's what we fight for. Lifting up his name, glorifying his name. It also says in Psalm 23, you anoint my head with oil, Jehovah Makadesh. If I'm pronouncing these wrongly, by the way, anybody, sorry. Which means the Lord does sanctify. He makes us holy. Again, like the righteousness. My holiness comes from above. Your holiness comes from above. It's always coming down to us. It's nothing that we can have for ourselves. It comes to us. And amazing. But you're made holy by surrender. Lots of people become Christians, like in that psalm, the benefits, Psalm 103. They think, benefits, what will benefit me? When you're on benefits, it's for you, isn't it? You're out of work, you're on benefits. Who's it for? It's for you. But actually, holiness, coming down from God, is to glorify his name through our lives. Our granddaughter is four, and she's got beautiful hair, but it gets a bit of a mess. So I decided to do the granddad thing, get the brush out. I walk in the room, she looks at me as if to say, what are you going to do with that? You know, and I go to brush her hair, and if you ever try to brush a little girl's hair, it doesn't want to be brushed. She's ducking and diving, get off, don't do that, don't touch. If only she would sit still so I could make her look nice. If only we could sit still so that Jesus could make us look nice, make us holy. Don't wriggle around. We're supposed to surrender our lives. Becoming a Christian is surrendering everything. It's not like a bargain. What can I hang on to? What am I willing to give? Well, I'll hang on to that. I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, so I'll hang on to that. And I'm diddling them out of money, and I'll hang on to that. And I'm doing some work on the side, but I'm still claiming benefits. I'll hang on to that, but I'll get all the benefits from God. Won't work. It will not work. It'll be a slow process for you. Growing as a Christian for you will be difficult. We should surrender our lives to God to bring honor to his name. And finally, from me, it says at the end of part of Psalm 23 that you are with me, Jehovah Shammah. Love this one. The Lord is there. Where? He's there. Okay, I'll go over there. Where is he? He's there. Oh, he's everywhere. I'll go over there then. It says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The Lord is everywhere. You can't escape from him. You might come in here and feel the presence of God, but then not feel the presence of God when you're out of here. It shouldn't be like that. The presence of God. He's everywhere. He should be with us everywhere. Is he with you? You can have the opportunity to come to know Jesus tonight so you feel him, not just in here, but you feel him at all times. The day I got saved, on the night I got saved, something happened earlier on in the day. I was talking to my brother who was a Christian, he was dying of cancer. And I said to him, I do believe in God. And in that moment, I knew we weren't on our own in the room. And it wasn't because one of the nurses had walked in. I just knew, oh. I mean, I felt such the presence of God. I didn't dare look around because I thought I might see him. I wasn't a Christian, hadn't become a Christian. I just said, I do believe in God. I want to encourage you tonight to believe in God and come to faith in him. Chris.
That command says that God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And this word guiltless, from the original Hebrew text, it means empty or clean or pure. And God is saying, anyone who misuses my name, I can't hold them empty or clean or pure. It's almost as if we are misusing his name. We are collecting some sort of dirt onto our lives Basically, this is sinning. It's you are taking something for yourself that's not meant for you. Because God is God. And if we try to be God, which we do when we are misusing his name, we are dishonoring who he is. It's as if we are trying to be God. We are trying to do it ourselves. And God is saying, I will not hold anyone pure or clean who misuses my name. We end up full of dirt, full of junk, and full of sin if we try to do it ourselves, because we can't be God. We were created to be with him, not to be him. We were created to glorify him, not to get the glory. No one will steal his glory, because it's he's alone. So I wonder if you need something out of your life, because it will drag you down and it will make you dirtier and dirtier, because we can't be God. The first thing we need is we need to belong to him. That will glorify him. We need to 100% belong to him, to glorify him. And we do this through Jesus Christ, that banner that was lifted up for us, to take away all of the sin, to get us clean and pure in the eyes of God. It is through Jesus Christ. So I wonder if you need that. Do you need your sin, your dirt, emptied out of you? Do you need to be clean again? Do you need to be pure again? You can be, because that's why Jesus came. And this brings on honor to God's name. If you choose to accept him, Christ our Savior, as the one who takes everything on, so we don't need to be full of this stuff. And if you know him, and if you are part of his family, if you believe in Jesus, why don't we focus tonight on who he is? I just saw this picture, like a prophetic one, of us carrying these buckets, and this represents our lives, and them being full of mud, and we're going out to the ocean, which represents God, and going there to wash our buckets that are full of mud and dirt and muck, getting it all washed away and getting filled with God, getting filled with water, which is pure and clean. So I'm just asking you, what do you think God is asking you to give up tonight? He's asking you to trust him. He's asking you to look to him. What do you need? And there's some specific things I felt God wants to do to people. One is direction. Maybe you've been trying to make your own way through this life, and you're in a place right now where you are struggling to do what God is asking you to do, struggling to let him lead you. You want to do your own thing. And God is asking, please, will you give it up for me? Because I got something better for you. If you do this, it just gets some dirt on you. And another one, I really felt there's people here who need God to provide for them. You need provision. You've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to make life work, but it's not. And you need it more and more. Will you let God provide for you? All you need to do is ask him, Lord, will you please provide for me? I need this much. I need new friends. Maybe you need to get pregnant. Maybe you need some relationship healing. God can do it. He can provide for you. And another one was, I felt like there's people here who need God to fight their battles for them. It's almost as if you've been wronged. You're in a situation that you can't get out of. And no matter which way you try, it keeps getting worse. God wants you to get out of it. And he's willing to help you. So should we all stand up now? We'll just pray. And we'll honor God's name. And we'll give him the glory. And there will be opportunity for ministry. But let me just, and you can get personal prayer. If you need come to God for something, you can come forward and we'll pray for you. Let me just pray for all of us together right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here in this room. We thank you that you have everything we need. We thank you that looking to you, we don't have to look at ourselves anymore. We don't have to look at what we have or our history or where we've been through or what's happened to us, Lord. We don't need to look at it because we can look at you. So, Lord Jesus, we choose to look to you right now. We choose to look to you for our needs, for our battles, Lord, for our direction, Lord Jesus. So we focus our eyes to you. And in your mind, take this bucket, look in it. It's your life. What's in there? Is there mud and dirt and muck that you have gathered? Walk to this ocean right now. There's plenty of God for you right here, right now. There's plenty of God for you right here. Thank you, Lord. So why don't you imagine this stage here being the show. If you need to bring your muck, if you need some clean water, please come to the front and we'll pray for you. And the ministry team will come. And Stuart.
Okay, so any things we said come forward that Chris was saying there. I'm going to say a prayer. And I want you all to pray out loud after me, those people that are coming to the front and anybody, okay, to pray out after me. If you're here for the first time or you don't know Jesus and you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity in this prayer now. So if you don't know the Lord, you can pray this prayer out loud and everybody will be saying it, so you won't just be on your own. And then you tell the person that brought you that you've prayed the prayer. You come and speak to one of us and tell us. So why don't we just close our eyes for a moment and you just pray out loud after me. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for all of my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. I receive your forgiveness right now. In the name of Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me more like you, Jesus. Make me the person you meant me to be. I repent of all of my sin. Let all of my past be gone. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm sorry for everything I've ever done wrong. Every wrong thing I've ever said. And every wrong thing I've ever thought. Forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to follow you all the days of my life and to bring honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.